Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
Honor with you, the living God. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that. Anoint me as your vessel tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. So Psalm 1, verse 1, this is what it says. It said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, I've got to just point out this word blessed, because this is a big word. Because don't you want to be blessed? How many of you want to be blessed? Yes, all right. If you didn't raise your hand, I don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you're still asleep and your neighbor needs to wake you up, all right? But blessed is something kind of like we all indirectly are searching for. We're searching for that blessing in our life. Whether if you're a single adult, you're searching for that blessing of a spouse. You're like, I want that spouse. And maybe some of you are seeking that blessing of money to get you through some financial situations that you're in. Some of you are searching for maybe a blessing of a health. Maybe you haven't been feeling good, or maybe you have a diagnosis that's not real promising. But regardless of the space that you're at, a blessing would be so helpful to all of our lives. And so if a Bible verse or a chapter starts with saying, how blessed is this guy or girl, you should really hone in on that. Because God wouldn't put it in his word if it wasn't possible to achieve. And so God does want you to live a blessed life, but the blessed life that you may have in mind versus the blessed life that God has in mind, they may be two different things. But if you hone in on what the psalm is saying, you're going to be blessed. Now, the word blessed means happy. It means satisfied. It means sustained. It means complete. It means fulfilled. It has all of those meanings to it. And how many of you have maybe ever been in a place in your life where you just felt discontent? Where you just felt dissatisfied? Where you just felt like, you know, things just aren't what I want them to be for my life. That would be the opposite of blessed. A blessed life is a life that is fulfilled, it's satisfied. You've seen the Snicker bars commercials, right? I don't know which one's your favorite, but there's some really good ones. I think mine is Betty White. Playing football. But you've seen them where they're just like really lethargic and they're really down, or they're just grumpy. And it's like, hey, man, you need to eat a Snickers. And they eat the Snickers and they're like, oh, I feel better. You know? So what God wants to give us is way better than a Snickers bar. Come on. Touch your neighbor right now and say it's way better than a Snickers bar. All right, come on. We got to establish that. And some of us have been hungry like that, and you know, Snickers bar does, you know, it brings us that satisfaction. But what we need to hone in on is the fact that God wants us to have a life that is being lived out where we feel complete, where we feel content, where we feel sustained. Now, if you are not in that space tonight, if you are not feeling complete, content, and sustained, then I would take a step back and say, well, maybe I really need to look at what this psalm is trying to teach me so that I can be that content guy, or to be that satisfied girl and be content with where I'm at in life. Because that's really what God wants us to be. He wants us to be content. Whatever season you're in, whether good things are happening or bad things are happening, Paul says in Philippians 4, I have found the ability to be content regardless of my circumstances. That's God's will for your life, is to learn how to be content. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You have been really battling discontentment in your life, and God is saying he wants to bring you a contentment no matter what your circumstances are, that are beyond your circumstances. Can you receive that word tonight? Now let's go back and look at verse 1. Because that's just the first word. And at this rate, I'll have you out of here by 1 a.m., all right? Some of you, all right. Brought to you by Snickers. We'll bring Snickers for all of us, all right? Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. You see this? Walk, stand, and sit. You see this kind of like it's poetry. But I want to break this down because each of them have a significant meaning to it. Let's look first to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Now, the wicked there means ungodly, and that really literally gets translated to not have your eyes on God. So it says, don't walk in the counsel of the people that don't have their eyes on God. In other words, don't take your cues for how you're going to live your life from people that don't have their eyes on God. And unfortunately, in this world that we live in, we're surrounded by people who don't have their eyes on God, who are constantly trying to tell us how to live our lives. They're in our grill. They're on TV. They're you know, on our stereos. They're in the magazines. They're on the movie screens. And we're getting this message bombarded at us all the time. And it's not that movies and books and media and all this stuff is bad. But as people of God, we have to be so careful of the things that we're absorbing. Because if we're not careful, by absorbing a lot of these philosophies that are being thrown at us by people that don't have their eyes on God, we will start compromising the lifestyle choices that we're supposed to be making as people of God. Because see, as people of God, as followers of Jesus, we have a very distinct worldview. And as Pastor Ron talked to you guys last week on Wednesday night, he talked to you about that. And he threw out some very challenging situations that we're up against as people of God, as followers of Jesus. Basically, a line is being drawn in the sand. And it's unfortunate, as I'm watching this thing kind of evolve, especially over the last 20 years, I'm watching some worldviews creep into the church that are very ungodly. And I see Christian people embracing it as normal. As like, this is completely normal. People living together outside of the marriage union. I've talked to people that have been coming to church for years that when we start preaching against that, they're like, what's the big deal? I mean, this is how the world is. That's how the world is, but that's not how God has called you to live. You have been called to a higher standard of living because God wants you to be blessed. And so you can make your own decisions and you can do certain things, but at your detriment, because what you're doing, you're pulling yourself away from that formula of having that blessed life. Are you following me? It's not just people living together outside of marriage. I mean, one of the first things that I was hit with when I really got serious in my relationship with God, there's like 4 years I felt like I was really not fully in to Jesus. I don't know if you were like me, maybe when you first came to faith, that I was coming to church and I was getting convicted, but Friday rolled around and I had the red cup in my hand and a joint in the other hand. And I lived that way for a season of my life until God got a hold of all of me. And that's when things began changing. And one of the first things that happened when I was really like focused on following Jesus, like really full-hearted, is my language. Because I, you know, didn't have a real good, you know, mouth on me, especially when I'd get frustrated. There were curse words that would come out just, you know, naturally. But I noticed like when I really came to Christ fully, my language, like, it cleaned up. It was crazy. It was just like, that was one of the first things that I saw God really change in my life. Not that I was like, to be a good Christian, I gotta not cuss anymore. That's how I do it. Instead of the S word, I'll say shoot. Instead of the D word, I'll say darn it. You know, no, that wasn't like that. It was organic. It was like, man, God, I want to please you. And the conviction there. And I just noticed, like, I stopped the bad language. But see, what I see now is I see people that have been in the church 10, 20 years, and they're cussing like more curse words than people in the world. And they're like, what's the big deal? I mean, is God offended that I said that word? It's just a word. I'm like, yeah, God is offended by that. Why? Because I'm offended by that and I'm your brother. And if you do something that offends me, the Bible says it's not right. So I know I might be stepping on some toes, but I believe it needs to be spoken about, because there are some things that I believe the culture has kind of wooed us to sleep on, and now the things 20 years ago that were just unheard of in the church are now being taught and done in the church, and somebody needs to stand up and say, hey, wake up! Our worldview is different than the world. We have our eyes on God. The world doesn't. I'm sorry. CNN doesn't have their eyes on God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but pop radio, they don't have their eyes on God. I'm sorry. Most movies that are in the movie theater don't have their eyes on God. And so we got to be very careful to not walk in the counsel of the wicked or the ungodly or those who don't have their eyes on God. And let me just tell you, that I believe in Christian counseling. I believe that marriages and even maybe health, for health reasons, mental health reasons, that people need to see counselors. Talk them through it, be able to give them advice. I believe in that. And I believe that in some situations it's necessary to give you a breakthrough for a healing in your life, to go sit down with a counselor. Now, because of, you know, all of this medical stuff, you know, you can go on your medical plan from work and you can get a counselor and have it even paid for. But this is what I want you to be very careful of, is who you choose to be your counselor. Because why would you choose a counselor that they don't have their eyes on God and they're telling you how to have a better marriage? They're telling you how to have a better mental health. You need to have a counselor that has their eyes on God, that's going to take the Bible and say, let me pray with you and let's get you through this. Let's get you some help. Let me show you some verses and let me walk you through this thing. And I mean, you got to remember, you got pastors here that would love to sit with you and pray with you. They're not like, you know, counselors, but they're spiritual advisors. And sometimes that's all you need for a breakthrough for your life. So be careful who you're getting your counsel from. Can you receive that tonight? So that's the people that walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Put verse 1 up. Man, we are going to get out here at 1 a.m. Nor stand in the path of sinners. Where the first one is like a worldview, standing in the path of sinners is like the behavior. It means like if there's a footprint in the ground, it's you are following in the same footprints as the people that are before you. So it's, in other words, you're following the behavior of these other people. And so when you stand in the path of sinners, you're basically following the footsteps and living as they're living. And Solomon here is saying, you got to be careful of that, because there are people and their behavior should not be copied. And if you're not real careful, there's some things that you can start mimicking in, you know, people around you, and you're not even aware of it. Things that they're doing and places that they're going, and you're just, because they're doing it, you're like, well, I hang out with them, so I better do it with them. There is going to be convictions that you're going to feel so that you don't walk or stand in the path of these people that are living their lives contrary to God. And they're missing the mark. They're doing things contrary to what the Bible says we ought to be living. So you got to be very careful of that. And let's go on to the, let's go to the verse again. Verse 1. Stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, sitting in the seat of scoffers, sitting in ancient times here meant that you were in fellowship with these people. that this was your posse. This is the people that you spent time with. They were your friends. They were your buddies. And what we read about is as you hang out with certain people, you become just like those certain people. I've heard this said to me before, and I've actually read it in books. You are the sum of your five closest friendships. In other words, if I want to know what kind of a person you are, all I have to do is take the people, the five closest people you spend the most time with, and kind of put them in this mixer bowl, and the common denominator between all of their personalities is you. Because we attract people that are like us, and we're attracted to people, right, that are like us. And so we get these close relationships that are a reflection of ourselves. And so some of you, you look at your five closest buddies, and right now you may not be liking who you really are based upon what you know about those five people that you're spending the most time with. Let me give you a scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. Don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. How many know that because you lived it? It's true. It's true. Your friends can have an influence on you. So verse 1 is saying, hey, you want a blessed life? Watch your worldview. Watch the behavior of your life. And watch the people that you associate with. If you want to have a blessed life, you're not going to have a worldview that contradicts God. You're not going to have behavior that pushes you and propels you away from what God wants for your life. That doesn't mean you're not going to sin. It means that there's a struggle there. Standing in the path of sinners is really, you're not struggling. You're okay with some things in your life. This is saying, no, you may fall to it, you may struggle with it, but that's a different message. And then the last thing is, you're not associating with people that are bringing you away from God. If you want a blessed life, those are the ingredients that the psalmist has given us. Let's go to verse 2. It says, but his delight, this blessed guy or blessed girl, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The law here represents the word of God, what we would call our Bibles. So this person that is blessed is somebody that is getting into the presence of God through reading the word and getting the word really absorbed into them. And he meditates on it day and night. He's thinking about God day and night. He's thinking about God constantly. Let me tell you, it is hard in our culture to maintain a thought about God because there's so many things that are ungodly with everywhere that we go. So it takes intentionality to say, I need to think about God more, right? And so we don't just get into the word by reading the word. We are reminded of the word through Christian songs, Christian music. We are reminded of the word through listening to podcasts and sermons, maybe on the internet. We are reminded of the word by having fellowship with other Christian people and having a small group where you get to talk about it. Now, and those are all ways that are going to help you think about God more often. Because the more often you think about God, the more satisfied you're going to be with this life. Somebody needs to tweet that. That sounded good. Because it's true. And so I guess your enemy is the thought life that wants to pull you away from thinking about God. And so you have to intentionally say, what can I do to help myself think about God more often throughout the day? I know a guy that when he first got saved, he carried this little tiny cross in his pocket, and he would, you know, go into his pocket like, you know, several times during the day. And every time he'd go in his pocket, he would grab the cross, and it would remind him like a trigger, like, hey, I need to think about God. I need to pray. I need to maybe read the word. I may need to text a friend or may need to get online and look up a sermon or something. Maybe for you, it's setting your smartphone to go off every 15 minutes and, you know, play a song that will remind you about God. And change it up, because if you hear that song after a month, you'll just tune it out, right? So you give yourself these little cues to think about God more and more and more. Now, it says meditate, and that word means to really chew on it. That means to really think it through. And the sermon illustration that Pastor Ron gave us years ago was a cow, the way he digests its food. And it's kind of a gross illustration, but it's one that stuck with me all these years. I mean, I it was one of the first sermons that he preached that I came and listened to. And he said, you know, meditating on the words like a cow chewing its food, and the cow will take the hay and he'll chew it and he'll swallow it. And then pretty soon he'll burp it back up and he'll start chewing on it again. And then he'll swallow it again. And then pretty soon he'll burp it up again. He'll chew it on some more and he'll swallow it again. And it's like, and every time you look at a cow, right, what does it do? It's chewing on it, swallows it, burps it back up. I know it's disgusting, but it really is a good picture of what God wants us doing with his word. He wants us thinking about it. He wants us chewing on it. He wants us figuring out how we can apply it to our marriages, apply it to our families, apply it to our finances, apply it to our neighbors, apply it to the stranger that we saw at Walmart. He wants us thinking about it and chewing on it. And you know, the best way I can say is, I call it the three digestive systems of meditating on God's word. Okay, the first one is you read it. That's the first time you swallow it. You read it. You're reading God's word. Okay, the second digestive part of it is you write it. You journal. Journal down the things that you're hearing God speak to you as you're reading the word or you're listening to a sermon. You're writing it down. I'm a big advocate of taking notes, whether it's in a sermon or your Bible study, you're taking notes. And then the third digestive process of meditating, I believe, is you share it. So you read it, you write it, and you share it. What do you mean by sharing it, Pastor? I mean, you find a friend, you find somebody in your life that you know, won't mind you just telling them for 5 minutes what God spoke to your heart that morning while you were in devotions, and share it. Because as you share that, as it comes out your mouth verbally and you're explaining it to somebody, it is going to stick that much greater. And you're going to retain that much greater when you do these three things. So you read it, you write it, you share it. Did you get that? Okay, so that's meditating on God's word. And so you think about God. Verse 3, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Can I tell you what that word prospers there means? Because it's important in the Hebrew. It means to advance or to make progress. So this blessed person is like this tree. If you go back to that verse, go back to verse 3. He's like this tree that is completely being nourished, right? He's by the water source, which is the nourishment for the plant. So he's completely being nourished. He's being fed by the water, and so the plant is going to be healthy, right? And it's firmly planted, which means what? That it's stable. So he's going to be the stable, nourished person. And then lastly, which yields its fruit. And so he's going to be this stable, nourished, fruitful person that is making progress in their life. Now here's the question. Does that describe you tonight? Does the word stable describe you tonight? No elbowing allowed. Would somebody, if I interviewed your closest friends or acquaintances, would they label you as a stable person? How about if I asked those same people if they felt like, you know, you were healthy, you were nourished, there was something in you that was growing, like you were a healthy person, you're growing in the things of God, that they saw that growth. They saw you nourished by God. Would they be able to describe that to me about you? And then would people be able to say that you're fruitful? Right? That means that you're bearing fruit. Your life is fruitful, not fruity. That's a different meaning, all right? Fruitful. Fruitful. That means that your life is reproducing something good for somebody else. That means other people are gleaning off of something that your life is producing, and it's causing them to be a healthier person. Because that's what fruit does, doesn't it? Right? I mean, if you have a healthy fruit tree, which we have a couple that we're trying to grow some fruit, and maybe in a couple years, a healthy fruit tree is going to give more fruit than will feed that family. So a healthy fruit tree is going to require you to share that fruit with other people, your neighbors, your extended family. That's the way it's going to work. And that's what God wants to produce in us. He wants to get you healthy so that you can reproduce healthiness in other people. And you probably heard this before. He wants to get you blessed so that you can become a blessing for somebody else. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for your life. So he wants you to be healthy so that you can help other people become healthy in their own life. So would you describe your life as stable, nourished, and fruitful? And how do you know you're stable, nourished, and fruitful? It says that they're going to prosper whatever they do. In other words, they're going to have progress. You're moving forward in your life. You're not stuck in a rut. I know so many Christians that are stuck in a rut. They are not making progress. They are not moving forward. They are not getting closer to the destiny that God has for their life. I talk to them and they're like, oh, I'm still here, still struggling with the same stuff you were talking to me about 5 years ago. Like, that is not God's will. You're going to struggle, but you are not to stay in your struggle. You are to be there for a moment because there should be forward progress taking place in your life. Touch somebody and say, he wants you to move forward. I mean, that is important for us to see. Let's go on. What verse were we on? Verse 4. All right, verse 4. We're getting there. We're getting there. Okay, the wicked. Okay, now the comparison is being made. That's the blessed person. Now we're moving into the unblessed person, the person that is not moving towards God. It says the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, the wind drives away. Let's go to verse 5 and 6. We'll read all of them. Hey, that worked. Okay. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, as you look at this idea of this chaff, the chaff, if you were to go back in ancient times and see how they processed their wheat, it'd blow your mind, because the wheat, the kernels that were the part that they used for food, it was encased in this like empty shell. And so what they would do is, in order to release the good part from the part that was useless, that had no purpose, is they would take the wheat with the chaff attached, and they would put it on this hard surface. They would call it the threshing floor. And then what they would do is they would take something. A lot of times they would take some oxen and have this like almost like the steamroller process. Other times they may take their kids or whatever and run over this stuff. And the whole purpose was they needed to separate the fruitful part of the wheat stalk from the stuff that was just not really good. And how they would divide it is, once they would crush it, is then they would throw it up. And of course, The good stuff would come back down because it had substance to it. But the stuff, the chaff, the empty chaff, they would throw it up and it would blow away. It would blow away. So here's a comparison. Here's a person that's serving God and loving God, thinking about God, and you know, they're this tree, right? And here is the other person. They're the chaff that once they get crushed and they get thrown into the wind carries them away. Let me tell you a reality of all of our lives. At some point in our life, we're going to get crushed. It's inevitable. Even the most godly people get crushed. And to be crushed could mean somebody that we love gets taken way too early from us, maybe in a death. Being crushed could be an unexpected event, maybe losing your job, maybe something coming undone in your family. I mean, we all get crushed. But really, can I tell you, it's when we are crushed that we know what we're really made out of. And if you are really positioning yourself in the Lord, when you get crushed and you get thrown up in the air, I'm telling you, you're going to stick with God. But if you're not, you're going to be carried into the wind. That's the way it works. And I know it's like, I can't get my mind around like wheat and chaff. Instead of thinking of chaff, think of a tumbleweed. What is the purpose of a tumbleweed? How many have ever almost like been like knocked off Highway 99 by an 8-foot tumbleweed before, blown across? I have. One time I was with Pastor Ron. Terry, remember that when we were driving? We were going down the 99. Pastor Ron was like dodging these 8-foot tumbleweeds. And I was like, what the heck? We finally hit a tumbleweed and just like, you know, just like just disintegrated. Just there's no substance to it. And so I have a slide to kind of show the difference here. All right? So this is Psalm 1. I mean, this is the comparison. Somebody that is leveraging their life for God is the fruit basket. They're fruitful. They have fruit in their life. They are sharing it with other people, and other people are being nourished and brought to health because of it. But other people that aren't, they're like this tumbleweed that just blowing in the wind. No substance. And you know what else about a tumbleweed that bothers me? Have you ever been hit by one just walking? They're irritating, man. They're thorny all over, and they're just like, get off me, tumbleweed. That's the way some of you are. You're like a tumbleweed more than not, because, man, you get around people are like, yeah. You're scratching people as you're blowing by them and irritating them and trying to knock them off the highway. And God's like, that's not how I called you to live. I haven't called you to be Mr. or Mrs. Tumbleweed. I've called you to be fruitful and to put my kingdom on display so that other people can be healthy. Touch your neighbor and say, I don't want to be a tumbleweed. Nobody wants to be a tumbleweed. Put that last verse back up. Verse 6. And I'll get you guys out of here. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God knows the route that you're on right now. He knows it. He knows the highway you're going down. And you might call this a warning sign. You know, those orange diamond-shaped signs that we see in Highway 58 right here that we've been looking at for the last 5 years. Thanks, Caltrans. But they're warning you. Why? They're warning you, saying, you got to be careful. And I believe Psalm 1 is a warning label. To say, God knows the highway you're going down. And if you're going down the right highway, man, you're going to be blessed. But if you're going down the wrong highway, you're going to perish. Some of you know if your life does not change, you probably won't be with us next year. You know it. Maybe your drug addiction is off the charts. Maybe your drinking is, you know, you could feel your liver just like you know, getting larger and larger. Just you feel it. Some of you, you know that the relationships all around you are toxic. And that if something doesn't change, you're not going to be married. You may still be alive, but you're going to be a single, divorced single. Others of you, you know that if something doesn't change, you're going to sink deeper and deeper into that depression. And you're going to feel like you can't get out. And that space, the devil loves. Because he gets into that space. He says, then why don't you take yourself out? He's trying to drive us all on that path. Heed the warning. God has a way better way for you to live. It's so much better. But the decision, the choice is up to you. Which highway you really want to be a part of. What outcome you really want for your life. It's up to you. You can be the fruit basket, or you can be the tumbleweed.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.